people who are one of a kind. They don't need nothing from nobody, 'cause they're already doing fine. You got Hasselbladskins hunching, and Mamie's raising hell. The legend of D-Ray White will never die like a rebel. Goes dancing in his daddy's shoes. Yeah, old Hassel still hunching out them Boone County blues. And old Mamie, you know she's done some time in jail. The legend of D-Ray White will never die like a rebel,
Williams III right here on BG's Texas Roadshow. That is from the album Straight to Hell. That is called D-Ray White. And just for you listeners here on the Roadshow this morning, and all you hillbillies tuned in online at RevFMRadio.com, let me welcome the man himself, Shelton Hank Williams, right here. Hank 3, good morning.
That's
sir.
It. Hello, Big G. All right, man.
How's it going, bud?
It's going good. Things are hanging in there in Tennessee. We're just getting ready for the winter and been trying to get the band back together and get back out on the road in 2009, so can't complain.
Well, how's the weather over there?
It can't make up its mind. One day it's 65 and the next day it's down to 35. So I keep waiting for it.
It sounds like we must be on the same geographical plane.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of that our own selves over here.
I know it. It's been freezing a few times at night.
We've had a couple of good white mornings here recently, and we'd just like to couple that with some a little more moisture in the air. But you know what? We'll take whatever the big man upstairs gives us, and be happy for whatever we get.
Aha.
So, man, it's great to talk to you. I know that you've got a lot of things going on. You have just released a new album, Damn Right Rebel Proud. Let's talk about that for a second.
All right.
What, I mean, the thing is charting, making some waves. How does that feel? I mean, I know you've been doing this for a while.
I've been doing it for a while, but honestly, man, you know, I've never cared about the charts. I've never looked at them to this day, you know, because if you look at my dad or Johnny Cash or some of the other legends, that you know, the radio comes and goes for them.
Right.
And we've always been a bar band and always will be a bar band. And if we got a little bit of a push behind us, that's great. You know, I honestly do think one of the reasons that it charted so good with the economy the way it is after the show, sitting there and saying hello to everybody that I can every night, you know, shaking every hand and signing every autograph. And not everybody has good things to say. You know, I take the good with the bad out there with the drunks, you know. So it's I think that really just made our fan base that much more important over the last, you know, 10 years of doing that. And they just, a lot of guys saying, man, you're just keeping it real and keeping the fans involved. And a lot of guys take that to heart.
So you got some drunks out there giving you the business? I mean, what are they telling you?
Well, you know, not everybody's a fan, man. Some of them, at the end of the show, they don't understand that hard rock stuff that I do, even though I give them a chance to leave and say, okay, the country part of the show is over, and if you don't want to hear the loud stuff, it's time to get on out. And sometimes they just like to stick around and say, man, you know, they almost act like I'm cursing the family name or something. But
well, you know what? It's change, man. If we ain't changing, we ain't growing.
Yeah, I know it.
You are doing the family business. There is no doubt. You are keeping the legend alive. And you're creving a new one.
Well, just carving my own niche out there. And that's, you know, we've been real lucky to have a diverse crowd from 18 to 80. And real thankful for that. And I'm just going to keep it going as long as we can. But I really do believe that helped out a lot on this newest release. So, I mean, even old David Allan Coe called me yesterday and said he looked in the back of Rolling Stone, I guess a week or two ago, and said we are number one on the Sirius playlist. So he's like, well, you got some people out there listening to you, man. So that's a good thing. Keep it going.
Well, regardless of what commercial radio says or does, people will always seek out what they want.
Yeah, and, absolutely, man.
You know, what you're doing is, I'm going to say it's a service, because there is few and far between of whatever is played on most commercial radio stations, except Revolution FM.
You know it.
You know, I mean, they're going for the demographic, they're going for the dollars, and, you know, they will not entertain the idea of playing something new, something fresh, something with soul. And that's, you know, that's what I've always been about is, you know, I don't want to hear the cookie cutter stuff. I want to hear the stuff that's new and fresh, the stuff where, you know, guy stretches it out a little bit. And
yeah,
the guys who have soul are the guys who have airplay on the road show. So that's where, you know, that's kind of where we fall here.
Well, there's a lot of them keeping it real, man. I mean, there's all
kinds out there. Yes, there are.
They're not going to stop playing until they're gone. You know, they do it for themselves because they love playing music.
Right. So. And it's nice to be able to bring some of that to the listeners of the road show as often as we can. So, you know, we're proud to have you.
All right, man.
And proud to have the guys that are, you know, doing what you're doing. You know, I know that it is not easy getting up on the road, being in a different town every night, and spreading the word, preaching the gospel, as it were.
That's it. Yep.
So let's talk about this. When your show, when you do a live show, you're doing a Hank 3 show.
Uh huh.
You're doing an Ask Jack show.
Yep. Yep.
And what, a damn band show?
Well, the country part of the show is Hank 3 and the Damn Band. That's the way it's been for years. You know, it's definitely a Jekyll and Hyde show. The first hour is full on our country thing and keeping all the acoustic instruments up there. And
yeah, because you got dobro and you've got fiddle and you've got banjo.
Got a banjo player that's going to be on the road with us this upright coming
bass,
year.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Stand up bass. That's right.
So at that point, when you finish that set, you go back in, you guys take a break for 15, 20 minutes, come back out, and everybody hooks up, plugs in.
Well, almost. I mean, we don't even take a break. Right? I just make the announcement, okay, folks, the country part of the show's over. And then we go into this 25-minute segment of the Hellbilly Sound, and that's almost like a pumped-up Reverend Horton Heat. You know, the stand-up steel's still going on. The stand-up bass is still there. The fiddle player's still doing his thing. But we just add a little bit of a more attitude to it and a little more distortion, and we do, you know, half an hour of our Hellbilly set.
Right.
And then we say, okay, folks, we're going to switch out. I got to switch out drummers nowadays. And we get the other drummer up there, and we end the night with about 40 minutes of the more hardcore punk rock slash fast heavy metal kind of stuff.
Okay.
So it's we cover a lot of ground. You know, with the music, and it takes a toll on the boys, but we always keep it going, man. You know,
how long is a typical Hank 3 show?
Nowadays, doing it night after night after night, we can do about 2 hours and 15 minutes. That's about the longest we can put the energy out there.
Right.
You know? But right now, I've been playing down on Broadway. Me and my band go down on Broadway at this place called the Bluegrass Inn, and we go down there and play for tips every Wednesday night. And it's a 2-hour and 45-minute show. It's a 2-hour country show, and then we do about 40 minutes of the Hellbilly Sound and no ass jack.
Where is the where's the crowd? Between the country sound, the Hellbilly Sound, and the ass jack sound, where's the crowd?
I mean, man, it's really hard to say. I mean,
guys that are at the Hellbilly and Ashjack show, are they not at the country show?
No, they're there.
They're all there.
The strangest thing about it is some, you know, like if I'm playing a slow song, like Country Heroes, I'll be playing a slow song and they'll still be stage diving and throwing people up in the air and trying to do a pit and stuff like that. Sometimes the pit's more intense during the country set than it is during the heavy metal set. I just think that's just because of all the energy and everybody wanting to just let it loose, you know. And it's always like a roller coaster. Some nights the whole crowd will stick around for the whole show. Sometimes after the country, I'll watch 400 people walk out the door and only have a couple hundred left, you know. It's always up and down. But no matter what, they get the same performance.
Because you're going to play the same show if there's one person there or 10,000, right?
Yeah, it don't matter. You know, sometimes when there's not that many people there, we even throw down that much harder because it feels like we're in our rehearsal room, you know. So it's, we never stop.
Making the fans happy.
It don't matter.
Well, that is the beauty of live performance.
And that is
the beauty of a pure professional as well.
Well, we've been having a good time out there. Nowadays, at least people understand a little bit more of what they're getting. You know, we've had some rough times in Lubbock, Texas in the past of not understanding what was going on.
I find that hard to believe.
They think we're disrespecting their club. And I'm like, well, man, you got rap music playing in your country bar. I don't see the difference, you know, and we've had our gear thrown out and guns pulled on us by the owners and all kinds of stuff, man. But
next time you go to Lubbock and get any trouble, you just give me a call, Hoss. I'll just straighten all that out. I will take care of it. They don't call me Big G for nothing. You know what I mean?
No doubt, man. So the word's out there. You know, we always watch our fans. You know, like if there's an older lady standing up front and she's getting knocked around, I'll say, you know, you might want to stand over here. I'll get her up on the stage or something like that. So
always a gentleman.
Yeah, we all got to take care of our own out there, so no security guards beating everybody down.
I love the Rolling Stones, 1969. Yeah. Right.
You'd be surprised, though, with the diversity, man, from the punk rockers to the country people to the average, football players or whatnot. Everybody pretty much gets along, man.
Oh, yeah.
All the different styles coming together.
Well, that was, that was a big thing that happened here in Texas in the 70s when Willie Nelson left Nashville.
Uh-huh.
You know, when he came back home to Texas, man, it was the rednecks and the hippies all hanging out together, digging what he was doing. You know, and it's nice to see it's nice to see that kind of deal going on again, because, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that music legends are made of.
Well, that definitely makes you feel important at the end of the day when you go out there and do a big tour and, you know, making everybody, you know, most of the people happy. You know, there's a few people out there might get a little upset.
Well, you know, but I'll tell you what, it's like, you know, what they say, you please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people.
Yeah, man, that's it.
So I want to ask you a question. I want to go back to the Straight to Hell album.
Okay.
This thing was loaded with, I mean, some classic numbers. The old Living Brothers deal, Satan is Real.
Most people don't know the very first guy I ever opened up for in my country music career was Charlie Louvin. So that's kind of how deep that song goes back to me. And he was always telling me a bunch of stories. And, you know, he took me out on about five shows, man. So
that's pretty impressive.
Awesome having that to kick off the record. And, you know, I think it honestly it'll take me another 4 or 5 years to top that record, just because it was so personal to me, and the way we recorded it and everything, it was just real hands-on and do it yourself, and telling everybody out there, you know, you can get a $400 or $500 machine and make a record. You don't have to spend $100,000 or $200,000 on a record. You know, you can get a few good mics and do it to it. So,
regardless of what the suits tell you.
Yeah, man. You know, I mean, that one, I don't know, just hit real hard for us, and a lot of the kids out there, the kids in black is what I call them, you know, it reached out to a lot of the non-country people. I can't tell you how many times I've said, or guys have come up to me saying, man, I've given up on country music, it's just so pop nowadays, and what you've done with your last couple records, it just gave me another chance of listening to it, and they really appreciate that. So
yeah, it's got to have been perceived as a huge crossover.
Yeah,
simply because,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, you are perceived as a guy with an attitude.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're not wearing a chartreuse leisure suit.
And, I know it.
And, thankfully.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got the tats, and I especially like the the Henson likeness.
Oh, yeah, man.
And I will tell you this, and I am going to tell on myself here. I was on your website at one point a few years back, and I saw you wearing a sleeveless T-shirt, and I guess it was a gig photo, and it was Unknown Henson. I'm like, well, who is Unknown Henson?
Oh, really? Oh, right.
Yeah. And so, you know, the internet being what it is, man, I mean, and what a great tool it is, yes, to find, you know, whatever you're looking for. I did a search, and there he was, the king of country western troubadours. And since that time, he and I have become very good friends. And matter of fact, I was in Vegas in September when he closed the Billy Bob Thornton Boxmasters tour at the Hard Rock when he played the after party.
Okay.
And that was a lot of fun as well. But, you know, he and Miss Margo are just absolutely wonderful people.
Yes.
And they speak extremely highly of you. So I owe it to you that I've been able to bring my listeners such classics as The Old Man Is Gay, and I cleaned out a room in my trailer for you. So it's all on you, brother.
All right, man. Well, one thing, since we're talking about Unknown, you know, probably about 8-9 years ago, me and Unknown had the same management. And we talked, and, you know, I've done tours with Unknown and talked to him a million times on the phone, and I've never seen him as Danny Baker. After the shows,
or early
shows. Yeah, I mean, he has always been Unknown Henson, man. Uh-huh. Even if we're just talking, you know, it's just something else. What he has created with his skits and his music, and, you know, not even talking about his guitar playing.
Holy cow, can that guy play?
Oh, I know it, man. It's amazing. He's just so creative, and you know, in the last few years, it's good to see how much the people's been, you know, taking him in, and the road's been doing real good for him.
Right. And he's got a great band. He's got a new drummer now, Frank the Tank.
Yeah.
You know, him and Tiny and Frank, man, those guys just, they're journeymen. They go all over the country doing what they got to do. Have you heard the new album, Live and Undead?
I just got that myself not too long ago, man.
Pretty sweet, huh?
Yes, it is. It is knocking it down, man.
Well,
definitely.
And I owe it all to you. Thank you.
Well,
it's all your fault.
Oh, heck. I hear you.
Let me ask you a question. I want to go back to the Straight to Hell album for just a minute.
Okay.
And I will say this, that the day that I received my copy of the album at the radio station, I listened to disc one in my office from start to finish. I thought, oh, man. So at that point, when I left that evening, I brought the album home with me, and I've got this kind of a glassed-in back porch. And that night it was raining and lightning and thundering. And my oldest son and I went out on the back porch, and he's got this big stereo system out there. I said, put this thing in. And I said, I want you to listen to it. And let's just listen to this thing. Disc two.
Yeah.
now imagine listening to disc two with rain, thunder, and lightning going on in the background. And then when the train came through, I was like, holy cow, remind me of an old Boy Scout camping trip we took when he was a youngster.
Uh-huh.
So I just wanted to know what was the influence for disc two?
Well, you know, everybody knows I've been into all kinds of different styles of music my whole life. But the main thing about that disc is, you know, we cater to a lot of the psychedelic kind of kids out there, and I wanted to make sure that I could say there ain't no other CD coming off of Music Row like this. And, you know, you got all the weird noises and the ambient sounds, and but to back that up, a lot of that's just me and my acoustic guitar,
right?
And recorded on a handheld tape recorder. And so, you know, the first CD, we worked hard trying to do it as good as we could. And on the second CD, it was kind of breaking the rules and doing it the way you're not supposed to do it, just stripping it down and making all the weird sounds. You know, it just that was the big inspiration for it was, you know, I just wanted to be able to say there ain't no other CD coming off of Music Row like this probably in the next few years or whatnot. So...
or ever.
Yeah, you know, it was a
that was sure to turn a few heads.
definitely
now, so the acoustic numbers on there, Were those yours, or were those some unreleased cuts from your grandfather? Or
the very first song on there is the first time I've released a Hank Williams song on one of my CDs. Aside from the three Hanks, I don't really consider that one of my CDs, but that was the first time I'd done one of Granddad's, and the exception, I do one Wayne the Train Hancock song. And
good friend
of the
road show here, yes. Okay.
I do the old Cheech and Chong Up in Smoke, but all the rest of them are mine. So
I have tried to speed up through various software programs a few songs on there, or a song on there at least, that I've not been successful in doing.
Okay.
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
What is it? Can you tell me or not?
No. Honestly, that song was, I can tell you all about it, and I want to bring up one point. They're getting ready to release Straight to Hell on vinyl, and because that second CD is so long, we're going to have to take off Louisiana Strut and a couple of the pieces. But Billy Gibbons, on that slow song, Billy Gibbons left me a voice message. That song was based around that voice message, but for some reason, Curb dropped the ball and didn't put him on the record. I don't know how you miss Billy, you know. I mean, that's just impossible that you miss someone like that, but... On the
guy
the
that
vinyl,
was in Back to Future 2? Come on.
I know, man. I mean, I was so mad about that. I've still been raising Cain about it. But finally, when they released the vinyl and all the new pressings on Straight to Hell, Billy's voice is going to be on that song. But that's a song called Down in Houston that possibly I was going to be recording with him. And that's how it kind of came about, and it might be on the new record that we're recording right now. I have the foundation laid out there, but you know, it's just a kind of bluesy song when it's sped up. And
let's talk about the new record. Have you been in the studio? I mean, you're working on it.
Yeah, I'm cutting all the demos right now. You know, I leave for the road in February, and I'm trying to have it done by January 25th. So, you know, I got about half of it written so far. I'm trying to get some more energetic songs, but it's going to be, you know, I got like one called Getting Drunk and Falling Down. That's an old school sounding song, and I got an energetic song called The Rebel Within. That's going to be coming out, and number five. That's for all those people out there that's had a hard time getting strung out on the needle. And, you know, I myself never shot up heroin or anything like that, but I know a lot of my friends has gone down that road, man. And it's just one of those kind of songs on, you know, don't give up your hope. And that's a tough fight you got to deal with the rest of your life, you know. So it's going to have some pretty deep songs on it.
Let me ask you then, having said that, and of course I don't want to try to make any kind of comparisons at all. Okay. I mean, that's not what it's all about, but, a lot of your grandfather's songs had some deep spiritual roots in them.
Yes.
Do you see that in some of the stuff that you're writing or thinking about writing?
Oh, well, I do. You know, I always thought my job was to sing about the dark, since my granddad sang about the light.
Right.
And, I mean, if you look on Lovesick, Broken, Drifting, I have a song called Call Name. And it's more of a, you know, it's more of a good religion song. And then, you know, when you look at some of the songs like Alone and Dying or Straight to Hell, that's singing about the dark a little more. But I kind of even it out. You know, a lot of people ask me if I'm a full-on Satanist or where I stand as far as religion goes, and I'm like, well, man, you know, I'm just pretty open-minded. I sing about both sides of it, but...
both sides of it as well.
Yeah, you know, I've just always felt a little more drawn to the dark side, and just being involved with all the heavy metal bands and stuff like that, and that's just kind of our crowd. So, but... you know, on the next 25 years on songs I'll be doing, man, I'll always be singing a little bit about both sides. And, you know, I just march to my own drum. I'm not officially a member of the Church of Satan or anything like that. I just, you know, sing about some of the things you're not supposed to. And
that raises a few eyebrows, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. I mean, absolutely. And that just, that is what it is, man. But in the end, you know, I don't belong to any club, or nobody can say I'm part of their crew or anything like that. I march to my own drum, and I do it for myself. You know, Johnny Cash always said, write a song for yourself and nobody else, man. And that's how I've always written my songs.
We're talking with Shelton Hank Williams III, Hank III, here on Revolution FM and Big G's Texas Roadshow this morning. From a standpoint of soul, okay, what is your perception of?
Well,
I know it's not a secret to those in the know, but we probably have some listeners out there who are like, "Oh, it's Hank Williams' grandson." Okay,
yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, I love Tennessee. As far as living, man, it's cheap rent. You got your seasons, you know, the summer, the spring, the winter, and it's not too big. It's not too small. But as far as the music business goes, yeah, it's a bit, you know, it's a bit like Hollywood. It's real clicky oriented. You know, everybody meets in their office to pump out 5 or 10 songs a day and write songs for the radio and all that thing. And if you're a musician coming to town, if you've saved up everything you've owned and come to Nashville trying to make it, you know, it'll chew you up and spit you out, man. And maybe 5 out of 500 might have that dream. But, you know, even our good old running buddy, Wayne the Train Hancock, man, he didn't pick up his guitar almost a year after he left Nashville. It left such a bad feeling in him, you know. So, but living here, born and raised in Tennessee, and I never go down on Music Row or do lunch or any of that thing, you know. I try to keep it real by going down to the bars and playing for tips, because that's what the musicians do. But and compared to Austin, it's not that much of a music town. It's changing slowly, but the diversity of the bands that are playing isn't as good as Austin. You know, it's just kind of one-sided. We have one punk rock club, maybe, 25 of this boot scooting bars and a few jazz clubs.
That's,
you know,
a nice
and,
way to put it.
Yeah. You know, and that's just, it just is what it is, man. But, you know, it's kind of a tough place to live. I always grew up doing everything I could to get on the road and get out of Nashville and get my following. That's just kind of being raised around here. I knew I wasn't playing their game and I wasn't fitting in the way they wanted me to. But, you know, I love Tennessee, but I can't stand the business. It's just kind of one-sided. And you know, me dealing with the Grand Ole Opry over the years and seeing how they've treated Jimmy Martin and Stonewall Jackson and countless others, it just kind of grows old on you. And
not everybody can be Roy Acuff.
No, not at all, man.
A man with voice.
Yeah. That's true.
Let's talk about the reinstate Hank movement. There's a huge undertaking going on to reinstate your grandfather to the Grand Ole Opry. They took it upon themselves to make an example of him. However, they still try to capitalize on his magic, his success. Where are we as a listening public and a Hank Sr. fan at on trying to make this thing happen?
Well, I've had this thing going on for about 5 years now, and the first time I brought it up was on the 50th anniversary for Hank Williams' death. You know, I said, folks, don't you think it's time to reinstate Hank? I said, I got to say it live on TV. And from then, I tried to be businesslike about it. I tried to go behind the scenes and talk to the president of the Grand Ole Opry and all that. And I couldn't believe how much attitude they gave me, just laughing at me like, oh, are you kidding? We'll never reinstate a dead guy. Are you out of your mind? And I'm like, well, if you want to be rude about it and give me attitude at the same time, I'm going to take it to the people and I'll let you hear what they have to say about it. In the last couple of years, we have picked up a lot of steam. You know, we're getting close to 40,000 signatures. We got a DVD coming out from David Allen Coe to Henry Rollins to Philip Anselmo to Stonewall Jackson and all kinds of different musicians talking about how Hank influenced their life and how he's, you know, been exploited so bad by the Grand Ole Opry. And for some reason, they just won't, you know, take him under their wing. We're talking about a man that was the very first inductee to the Country Music Hall of Fame. He's been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But for some reason, the Mother Church of Country Music acts like they're too good for him, even though they hang his... Like, if you walk in the mall here in Nashville at the Ryman and all that, they have his pictures hanging up everywhere. And have impersonators at the door. And, you know, you need to show respects where respects are due if you're going to write his name that hard still to this day. So all the people out there, we have a bunch of petition books that everyone from George Jones to the average working man, everybody's signature is in this same book. And I think that's going to be a legendary thing. We have five of them out there. The first two pages are in all five books I wrote out in my own blood and just, you know, saying some deep kind of stuff. But it's a movement that a lot of people are behind, and we're giving them a chance to do the right thing. But, you know, they might never do the right thing. But at least we're going to call them out on it. And you'd be surprised. I went down at Fanfare and did a big reinstate thing, and people from all over the world had no idea that he wasn't a member. People just assume it.
Right.
And when they find out that he's not, they just can't believe it.
Well, because behind you had Jimmie Rodgers.
Uh-huh.
Then you had Hank Williams. You know, I mean, it was like that was kind of the progression. You know, Jimmie Rodgers started in the early days of radio and phonograph. Jimmie Rodgers was the guy. And then 20 years later, it was Hank Williams.
Yeah.
Simply. Where can people contribute their signature?
Well, the easiest thing that people can do on any Google search engine, if you just type in reinstate Hank Williams, you'll find reinstatehankwilliams.org. There's MySpace pages for it, and it has its own web page, but just go to Google and type in reinstate Hank Williams, and it'll take you straight to the petition and to the website. And that's the main thing we got going on right now. Here in the next year, we're trying to have a two-day get-together where folks can musicians can come into town, and we're gonna just have a Hank Awareness Day. And you know, if we get anyone from Willie Nelson to myself to just some local players, it's going to be 2 days of full-on music. We're going to try to broadcast it live on the internet radio stations and just let them feel it, man. So
make sure and keep me informed as to when that's going to be, so I can, you know, at least I do my part from this end and keep my fans and friends apprised of when that's going to be, so we can get everybody hooked up on that.
It's coming along, and just like, you know, I mean, the very first song on my new CD, that's a pretty immature song, but, you know, I'm telling it the way it is, because
I've not heard the unbleeped version.
Did you know Hank Williams ain't a member, but they keep him outside their door? Hell, they didn't even really want Johnny Cash back in 74. Said the Grand Ole Opry ain't so grand anymore. Well, they were nervous about Waylon, cause he had a crooked smile. For many, many years, they never wanted Bo Seavis, he's too loud. Do you really think they ever wanted Johnny Paycheck hanging around? Hell nah, cause they're too uptight. Wow, the real rebels like to get down. To most people listening to this, it might seem like talking But if you look behind the scenes of who's pulling the strings, well, it'll make you sick. Hank Williams still ain't reinstated, and I'll tell you that's bull. And the King Jimmy Martin, if he is still here, he'd tell them all to suck his. Well, they were nervous about Waylon, cause he had a crooked smile. For many, many years, they never wanted both see his artistic cloud. Do you really think they ever wanted Johnny Paycheck hanging around? Hell no, cause they're too uptight. Wow, the real rebels like to get down. And the Grand Ole Opry ain't so grand anymore. Well, they done off the people that made it with it before. Hell, they didn't even really want Johnny Cash back in 74. Said the Grand Ole Opry ain't so grand anymore. No, the Grand Ole Opry ain't so grand anymore. Did you know Hank Williams ain't a member, but they keep him outside their door? Hell, they didn't even really want Johnny Cash back in 74. Said the Grand Ole Opry ain't so grand anymore. It makes me wonder, folks, has the Opry sinned?
Well, just in case they never do it, you know, you got to call them out, man. The Grand Ole Opry ain't so grand anymore is the main titles of that. And I just saw the way they treated Jimmy Martin throughout the years, man, and he was one of my heroes growing up. And that just broke my heart. No one could turn on a crowd like Jimmy Martin could in his older age, and there is no reason for him to not be part of that family, you know. And
right, for guys who give their life to their craft and to be dumped on is pretty disappointing.
That's true. And being born and raised in Tennessee, you know. Sure. So it's he was loud and proud, and that's just the way he was. And So I was standing up for the Bluegrassers on that one and standing up for Hank Williams. And, you know, we're definitely getting a lot done. We were able to, you know, have an article in Rolling Stone, and we got the new DVD coming out. And, you know, all this money that we might, let's say we get some money from the DVDs, well, that's just going to go into billboards around town, you know,
right.
Reinstate Hank and just keeping the cause going. Oh,
very good.
It's been full on.
We are talking with Hank Williams III, Hank III, here on Big G's Texas Road Show's Revolution FM. Hank, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. This is good stuff, and I was remiss in saying Happy Thanksgiving to you earlier.
We had a good one here, man.
Very good. So. Very good. You are a multi-instrumentalist, right? You play several different instruments.
Yeah, I've never mastered all of them, but I can get around on a lot of different ones, that's for sure.
What do you play?
I write songs and play acoustic guitar, rhythm. I'm still a drummer in a band to this day. And I've been on Ozfest in a heavy metal band, playing bass in bands. So the main thing is just guitar, bass, and drums, and I mess around with claw hammer banjo, and that's about it. So,
do you have a favorite?
It kind of comes and goes, but it has to be the guitar or
the drums.
On the
mood.
Those are the
right.
Two big things that I really like. And, you know, playing bass is basically like playing guitar out there, so
right.
It's kind of nice not being the front guy and stepping back and letting someone else do that and just worry about playing my instrument, not having to worry about the every day.
How do you disassociate yourself from being at the microphone to just being in the band?
Well, when you work with someone like Philip H. Anselmo from Pantera, he'll put you back in line real quick. So... you know, I've played bass in a band with him, played drums in a band with him, but, you know, and it feels good. I mean, even if I'm just playing in local bands, doing some hard rock things, I really love just sitting there and only having to concentrate on having fun with my guitar and jumping around or headbanging and stuff like that. So
do you play any lead guitar stuff? Or are you more a rhythm guy?
I don't play lead that much live because, like, for instance, on my country shows, I play such fast rhythm, and night after night after night, by the time I get around to picking up an electric guitar, my dexterity is just kind of all messed up. So I do some lead stuff on some recordings, but most of the time, live, I'm just, playing fast rhythm and chunking out and stuff like that.
So those left-hand fingertips are pretty callous, huh? Pretty tough.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. You know, and I still work on it to this day. If I ever get to take a guitar solo like Angus Young or Ted Nugent back in 1975, I'll be happy. That's all I want to do is be able to rip one like that, you know. So I'll be happy, man. And, you know, even old Hank Jr., he'll take a lead and do his thing, but we're not the best players out there, you know.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I saw him in 1979, I guess, or 80, I guess, maybe. And the blues stuff that he was doing in open tunings was just, you know, I was like, wow.
That's his thing, man.
Yeah.
He's the true blues man.
Yeah.
And, you know, he can hold his own on the piano and
yes.
just get out there with an acoustic and do it up. And, you know, back in the day when he had your cheating hearts backing him, he'd play drums, banjo, guitar, piano, go all around the stage and play every instrument, man. So I guess that's the good thing, being raised around Audrey and having Jerry Lee Lewis giving you piano lessons and Johnny Cash teaching you how to do some rhythm and being around the Allman Brothers and Lynyrd Skynyrd all those years, man. So,
do you see him much? Do you talk to him much?
I get to see him maybe a couple times a year nowadays. It's more of a hunting kind of thing, you know.
What kind of hunting y'all do?
Last hunt I went on him went with was a turkey hunt up in Paris, Tennessee. It's a couple hours from where I live.
Uh-huh.
And that's about the biggest thing we do nowadays. You know, we don't really talk about the music or anything like that, you know. And but things are all right. You know, I definitely have to stand up and say what I got to say.
Right.
I mean, you know, even if you look at the big Hank Jr. tribute they had last, or I think it was this year, you'll notice my name's not mentioned on that whole show. And there is a reason for that, and that's just because I've had to fight for myself, and I was raised by my mama, and I don't play their... I mean, that just
right.
goes back to the same thing. I don't play that game. I'll tell you the truth, and that's the way it is, and some people don't like to hear it, you know, so...
A man's got to do what a man's got to do.
Yeah. We look past all that, and can still get along, and we don't, you know, we don't have no knockdown arguments or nothing like that, but...
That's always a plus.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. I'm going to shift gears here on you.
Okay.
Just a second. Because I know that you are a gearhead as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Four-wheel drives and mudding. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Man. That is a good time for us.
Did you ever sell the Ram Charger?
I did. I finally got that gone, man.
Okay.
So,
all right.
He's a guy up in upstate New York came and got that thing. So he actually owns two of Hank Jr.'s vehicles now.
All right.
So
what is your ride of choice these days?
Man, I've always been a Ford guy. I got a Ford 250. It's got about 500,000 miles on it.
Three? So, come on, man.
That's it. I don't know. I got a
man. I got to get you hooked up on the GM side of life.
Uh-oh. You a Chevy or a Dodge man?
I've got a 91 Chevrolet pickup that's got 773,000 on it, and the valve covers have never been off of it.
No kidding.
Yeah. Mobile One, man. A free plug for Mobile One every 3,000 miles.
Aha.
Yeah. And a couple of years ago, I picked up a new 2500 HD GMC four wheel drive, crew cab diesel. And that's, I tell you what, that Duramax is an engine of dreams in that Allison transmission. I sure do like it. I don't care much for that independent front suspension. Yeah, you know, I'd rather have a big old Dana 70 front end up underneath that thing, big old axle. But
yeah,
you know, it's one of these days when I get rich and fat.
well, There you go. Well,
so
things might change here soon while we're talking about mudding. We got a big event that we're going to start trying to do in Louisiana/Mississippi called the Mississippi Mud Bog, and we're just going to have a few bands playing live, and we're going to have a bunch of mudding kind of contests going on. It's going to be a 2 to 3 day thing where you come and camp out.
Where are we going to do this?
We got two locations that we're looking at right now. I'm wanting to do it in Mississippi just because of the song Mississippi Mud and everything.
Right.
But we got one location in Mississippi that we're looking at, and one location outside of Covington, Louisiana.
Outside of Covington, okay.
Yeah.
Some of my old stomping grounds down there.
Oh, man, it's intense. So we had such a good time at the video shoot, and my friend that lives down there, he's like, he does all the voodoo festivals down in there.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, man, I'd really like to do a Hank 3 Mississippi Mud Bog Fest year after year. And I said, man, let's do everything we can to make it happen, and we'll put the feelers out there. So it might not be up and running officially till 2010, but we're working on it hard and trying to get all the permits and, you know, trying to get some sponsors involved so somebody can maybe win a truck or something like
that.
Oh,
man, that'd be great. That'd be great. Just make sure it's a GMC, right?
Yeah, no, they might step up, man.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, all those guys right now are hurting. So, you know,
yeah.
You know, as cheap as they're getting, you know, it may make it very worthwhile. I'll tell you what, I need to go out and pay a few bills. Can you hang on just a second?
Oh, yeah. You know it.
All right. This is Big G's Texas Roadshow right here on Revolution FM. We're going to try to get this thing set up here where we can go do this seamlessly. We've got Hank Williams III right here, Hank 3 on the Roadshow. So y'all keep it tuned right here, Revolution FM. Texas Roadshow right here on Revolution FM. We've got the one and only Hank 3 here on the line with us this morning. Good morning again.
Yeah, man, we're hanging in there.
You bet. Well, I can't tell you, man, how much I appreciate you spending the time to talk to us. And we got a lot of truck drivers out there on Interstate 10 this morning. I know they're listening to us, and some insomniacs and convenience store clerks, and not to mention what we got going on the web. It looks like the old stream is still working, so that's a good thing. Don't know if all the hillbillies have crashed the server or not. I guess we'll find out in Monday's news. So I know there was a lot of hype. Our buddy Kyle, FreeHank3.org and SavingCountryMusic.org has been instrumental in getting some of this going on for us. And he's a huge asset in your corner.
And, absolutely.
You know, it's good to see. Again, we talked about the grassroots thing a little bit earlier, but it's good to see people that really recognize the real music. You know, there is so much plastic stuff. I mean, Frank Zappa said it best, you know, plastic people, oh baby, now you're such a drag. You know, and I guess what else he say? Don't eat yellow snow. So,
right.
So, you know, Kyle has been among many others that I can't even begin to name have been huge. And it's no secret that you had your album had been done for quite a while before it was released. The new one, Damn Right, Rebel Proud.
Yes.
You've got one more that you are responsible for.
That's right. I got to have it turned in by April, and we're working on it as we speak.
Okay. Have you gotten any kind of indication as to when that will be released?
Well, if I turn it in by April, it should come out in the end of 2009 or the beginning of 2010. And I'm looking at about 12 to 14 more months, and I'll be free and clear. So.
Okay. Well, what are your plans at that point? I get the impression that you are a thinking man, and you are looking out for the best interests of you and your boys in the band.
Yeah.
Are you got any ideas or any thoughts on changing any direction, or going to just keep doing what you want to do and do it in a grander fashion?
Well, it's going to be nice to have freedom. You know, if I want to go sing with Jeff Clayton and Nanti Scene, I don't have to go through a lawyer. If I want to go record with Wayne the Train, I go and record with Wayne the Train. That's just the way it is. And it's going to be nice having that freedom. But the biggest scary part about it is the business. You know, I'm going to try to do it myself. I'm going to try to take the David Allan Coe mentality of selling it at my shows and selling it on the web and see what that does on my official first release. If I can keep up and not let the tax man get me down, that's the biggest thing I'm worried about, is trying to deal with those numbers, and we'll have to see. But I'm going to go into it full-on DIY. I got the foundation out there, the crowds, and I've always been, I hand-pressed 25,000 CDs and sold them myself on my rock record until I was legally forced to stop selling them. And I'm going to try to do it that way. And if that doesn't work out, if things get too complicated, I might try to find an independent that I might feel comfortable that's going to respect what I do. I just don't want to get locked into another contract and people that don't respect me.
On an album-by-album basis.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah, well, I'll tell you what, you know, it's amazing to me. You know, I guess one of the first guys that we ever heard about doing it his own way without the benefit of the machine, quote unquote, was, yeah, Willie. Willie left Nashville and came back to Austin, and he shopped his stuff, and they said, that'll never play. He said, watch me.
I hear you.
Complete artistic control, and I think he took it to a new level and laid the groundwork for a lot of you guys. You see it now as well. I mean, guys will have label deals, but they're saying, look, this is how, if you want to release my record, this is how it's going to be done. This is what it's going to sound like, and this is what I want out of it. You can either do that, or I'll take it elsewhere, or I'll do it myself. You know, I think artists have a lot more control now than they've had in the last forever. And it's good to see, because technology has gotten to the point where you don't necessarily need the ivory tower anymore.
No, it's and I've always, you know, been, you know, I've let people bootleg our shows for years, and I'll always let that happen. And, you know, it's just the word of mouth and the loyalty out there from your fans. And if they want it, they'll get it. So,
right.
I'm officially going to try to, we're going to try to do it ourselves. We've been recording it ourselves. We know how to make good records on our own, and, you know, getting a good distribution thing. And that'll be the hardest part of it, but we're gonna try, man. I mean, once I get free and clear,
we're not gonna mention Walmart.
So. Yeah, no, that ain't making. I've tried and tried. I've always said I don't make records for them, and I'm still against the whole censorship issue. I understand you got to do it for some songs, but you know, I make those kind of records for a reason. But that's where the road comes into play, and just the fans, man. So I got many heroes, from the Jello Biafra, from the Dead Kennedys, to Henry Rollins, to, you know, and learning from David Allan Coe through the years and stuff like that. I'm hoping the best for it. You know, I'm just worried about the business. Dealing with the numbers, that's the hardest thing about it.
Right, and I think that's where so many guys, you know, either have no focus or lose their focus. Is you know, they hire somebody and says, take care of this for me, and you know, these guys end up destitute and broke, and having signed everything away to somebody that it was unscrupulous.
Yeah.
And it's impressive to see a young man that is learned from history and is not repeating it. And you know, we're in your corner here, big fans here at Revolution FM and here in the Hill Country of Texas. You mentioned Austin earlier. What is your impression of the music scene in Austin? Have you gotten to spend enough time around it on your trips through to gain an understanding or an appreciation?
Absolutely. You know, I've got to go there when I haven't been on the road and just hanging out. The musician caliber that's around there is just amazing, you know, from young to old. There's just class act musicians all around there, man, and the diversity that Austin has to offer is pretty amazing, man. And
you can hear almost anything you want to hear there, can't you?
Yeah, you can. It's way intense. So I've got to go into a lot of the bars. I've been to Dale Watson's shows where he's calling out, just name a key and somebody say a word and we'll sing a song about it. You
that
know?
Guy is.
So I've got to see the real deals and the awesome players, you know,
right.
In fact, the Dave Biller, and nowadays you got Red Volkart and all kinds of
guys. Oh, yeah, Red's
there.
big friend of the road show here.
Yeah, man, yeah. So I've always respected it, and, I've definitely been jealous of it, wishing, God, you know, I wish I lived in Austin, but...
Well, have you ever considered it? Have you ever considered a move?
Well, honestly, I've thought about it, but I just can't see myself doing it right now. It's more of a family thing, you know,
sure.
Being around my kid and
right.
My mom and stuff like that. Maybe one day, but it goes back to, you know, I can get the cheap buses here for the road. We got cheap rent. I got a place
right.
Where we can rehearse and nobody bothers us. And when we go out of town for 2 months at a time, nobody steals our equipment.
Lot to be said for that.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee that really helped me out a lot on that kind of angle. What's that old saying, Steve? Steve Earle would say that the weather's good and the women are great, and there's all kinds of trouble to get into down there. So
he should know.
Yeah. So, you know, it might be a little bit of a, I might get hung up in some things I don't want to get hung up into. So,
right.
But you never can tell, man. You know, maybe one day. I've thought about it, and I always sing about Texas. And
Yeah.
Texas has always been good to us, and, you know, some of the purists that I've met out there, Dale and Wayne, have, you know, helped me a lot through the years. And
yeah, you. When we were talking off air, you mentioned another good friend of ours, Lucky Tubb, and Sean Reefer, a couple of guys that made their Hill Country debuts here on the Road Show on Revolution FM.
Yeah.
And I was quite happy to hear that, that you're into what those guys are doing. There is a market for the sound.
Absolutely. There's definitely a market for it, and them guys are just doing what they do, man. I mean, that's what they eat, live, and breathe.
Right. I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask you one more question. If you don't want to answer it, I fully understand it.
All right.
Okay. And I think we qualified a lot of this up front. Again, I'm on the phone here on the road show with Hank Three, and that's who we've had him on since at the top of the midnight hour. And again, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to spend it with us here. Do you have any regrets about anything in the business?
As far as just being in the business itself?
Or just, I mean, is there anything that you could have done that you didn't do, or that you wish you had and you just didn't?
I mean, honestly,
I know it's a tough question, Hank. I mean, I understand, but I just,
as a player, I always wish I would understood music theory a little better, you know, because
it's never too late to learn, is it?
I still try to this day, you know. It's just a problem I've always had, but I wish my mama would have forced me to, you know, take lessons and shove that stuff down my throat. But that's one regret I do have. I wish my theory was better, and how I wish I could communicate with musicians a little better. But as far as the business goes, the attitude and the rebel kind of outlaw theme, I don't have any regrets on that, you know, because that's just in my blood. That's the way my granddad was and the way my dad's been, and that's kind of staying true to myself.
Sure.
And I've had a couple things just kind of maybe come back and haunt me just from what I say and what I do, but I'm always...
Let's all stand up and raise our hands on that one.
Oh, yeah, man, mm-hmm. But I'm always strong enough to make it through, and, you know, I'm definitely getting a little wiser as I keep on doing it, and, you know, that's all I could do, and the business is the business. And even back in the day when I had to sign that long contract with Curb, that definitely ate up a good 10 years of my life. But
yeah, but you know what? At the end of that time, and it's all said and done, you know, you're gonna come out of this thing stronger, more determined to fully explore who you are and what kind of music you decide to put out.
Well, it gave us the longevity, and I am thankful we never were a one-hit wonder. You know, I got a long career.
All right, Billy
like
Ray.
Reverend Horton Heat.
You bet. Three, so much, man. Thank you. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. And know that you've got a huge fan base, not only here in Texas Hill Country, but worldwide. I'm amazed at some of the stuff that I see on the internet from these people from all over the place, especially in Europe. And all corners of the United States. And, you know, you just keep doing what you're doing, and keep up the good work, doggone it.
We will, man.
And,
we will.
What was it Charlie Daniels said? Non-illegitimatis carborundum?
There you go.
Don't let the bastards grind you down.
I hear you. Amen.